all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. On this Sunday following Pentecost Sunday, I want to preach to be continued. God is going to continue what he started. If you want that, raise your hands, lift up your voice, and let's pray that the Lord would continue what he began. Lord, we love you for every good gift you've given already. We are thankful and ask you to continue. Continue, Lord, to grow us. Continue, God, to deepen us. Continue, Lord, to strengthen us. Continue to draw us closer to you. Continue to use us to reach out to our world. And I ask you to add to the church daily such as should be saved. I ask you, God, to do what you only can do. We're going to do everything we can do, and we're going to trust you to do what we can't and what only you can do. We put those things in your hands and ask you, Jesus, to continue what you have started in and among us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For 9 days, 120 believers huddled together in a second-story room, praying and waiting for God to send them a promise he promised to send. I want you to think of the conversations in that room after being 9 days with 119 other people in one second-story, heat rises from the bottom kind of room. How long we been in here, Pete? 9 days. 9 hot, long, the room's closing in a little more each day. Days. How much longer are we going to be in here, Pete? I don't really know, Andrew. All I know is Jesus told us to go to Jerusalem and wait. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been doing that now for 9 days. Peter and his crew would have gone for an unleavened pizza about that time. Then the sun set on the 9th day and rose on the 10th, and that day was the day of Pentecost. It's one of those exciting Jewish feasts when family and friends come from all over the world to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. The disciples and over 100 others were still waiting and praying when all of a sudden, on that 10th day, they heard something that sounded like a rushing mighty wind. And they saw something that looked like fire sitting on the tops of everyone who was sitting in that room. And then they felt something. They felt something they had never felt before, and yet somehow it felt familiar. And after waiting for 10 days, they were all filled with the gift of God's Holy Spirit. The same Jesus who walked with them now dwelt within them. They had waited for that day for 10 days, but God had waited for that day for 4,000 years. He was not content just to dwell upon them like he did in the Old Testament, or even with them like he did in the Gospels. But he wanted to, and he prophesied that one day he would dwell within them. And all of a sudden they heard 120 people who loved Jesus more than life begin worshiping God in languages that they had not learned in school. And they began speaking in other languages or in other tongues as God gave them all the gift of the Holy Ghost. That day was the dawning of a new day. And I am glad to preach today that we still live within the glory of that glorious day. That day has not come and gone as others may have preached it has. But the sun is still high noon on that day. God's church is still experiencing the baptism of the Holy Ghost all over the world and right here in Mount Vernon. The same Spirit of God that filled the disciples in the upper room on that first Pentecostal church Sunday is the same Spirit that filled Brother Cain and Brother Sheets last Sunday with the power of the Holy Ghost. God's still pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. The precious gift of God's Spirit is still available to anybody who's hungry, who wants to be filled and refilled. For the promise is unto you and your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But now that we're 1 week removed from last Sunday, in nearly 2,000 years, that's 104,000 weeks, give or take, removed from that Sunday, I want to ask you a question. What do you do the day after the day of Pentecost? Think about it. You've been praying and you've been hoping, you've been waiting, you've been wishing, you've been looking forward to the day for God's promise to come, and it came yesterday. You didn't know what it would be or when it would come, but all of a sudden, right there, holed up in a second room with, or a second floor room with 119 other believers, just praying and waiting. And finally, after 10 days, the promise comes. And the same Jesus who walked with you now dwells within you. But that was yesterday. What do you do on the day after the day of Pentecost? What do you do the day after the biggest day of your life? You do what the apostles did. You continue. We're in the height of graduation season, and I want to say on behalf of our entire church family, congratulations to our 3 high school graduates and 1 college graduate. We are so proud of you. On June 17th in the evening service, we will be celebrating Hannah, Kanan, Katie, and Jessica, all graduating high school, and Jessica graduating college with her bachelor's degree. We're so proud of all of our graduates. At graduation, all of you have already graduated except for Hannah. This afternoon, she'll graduate. At graduation, you sit anxious and excited, waiting for your name to be called, ready so you can receive your diploma, turn your tassel, and become a graduate. This year marks 21 years since I sat in that Utica High School gymnasium on a Sunday afternoon, and I waited through award after award after scholarship, waiting for my name to be called, remembering all the while thinking, take with the left, shake with the right. Take with the left, shake with the right. Take the diploma with the left, shake the hand with the right. You're going to need to know that today, Hannah. Take with the left, shake with the right. And don't trip. I try to remember all those things. That way, nobody would remember me at graduation day. One of the worst things to be is remembered at graduation day. It was one of the most exciting days of my life, but I never thought I should just sit in that chair in the gym and relish that I have completed 12 years of numbers and shapes and colors and dates and theorems and theories and postulates. I know I can't just sit in an empty sweltering gym, because graduation is not the end. It's actually just the beginning of life in the real world. There might have been a few believers on that day after the day of Pentecost who tugged on Peter's robe and said, "Hey, Pete, why don't we go back up the stairs and let's go back in that room and let's feel what we felt yesterday. I want to be back in there to feel what we felt before." But God's will was more than just they would set up camp in an upper room and feel what they felt before. But God was calling them to take what they felt in the upper room and get out into the streets and share the good news with those in the streets. That what God did for us up there, He will do for you right here. For the scriptures declare they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Bishop has rightly preached it for decades. The most valuable treasure a church can have is doctrine, what it believes and preaches and practices from the Word of God. It's more important than how well the ministries are run, or how cute the nursery, or how beautiful the building, or how personable the pastor. Is this one answer to this one question? Will what I hear from this pulpit be enough to get me from here to heaven? If not, it doesn't matter how well the ministries are run, or how cute the nursery, or how beautiful the building, or how personable the pastor. If what is preached from the pulpit is not enough to get you from here to heaven, you need to find a church that will continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Don't discount what they preached because it's 2,000 years old, but treasure what they preached because it is 2,000 years old. And if it worked for the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and it works for us, it's going to work for them. And if the Lord somehow tarries His return for 100 more years, this same gospel we preached this morning is going to save somebody's soul in the 22nd century, because the doctrine that worked for them is going to work for them. Continue steadfastly on the apostles' doctrine. We've got to continue to preach and teach the gospel the apostles preached and taught. That is, Jesus died for our sins. Thank God. He was buried and he rose from the grave on the third day. That is the gospel. But they would tell you it's not just enough to believe historical events happened on an ancient calendar. We must respond to the gospel. And our response is found in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In case you're curious, that's why we're called apostolic. Or as we learned at a graduation this year, apostolic. Or as many people in our community say, apostolic. Because we believe and we preach the same apostolic doctrine the apostles believed and preached in their day. If you're new to our church, if this is your first service, or maybe this is one of your first few services, I want to say we are so glad you're here. We are so happy to have you here. We really are. If you don't already have an apostolic church home, then we from Apostolic Church would like to tell you, welcome home. We really are so glad you're here. We have experienced a relationship with Jesus like they experienced that has changed our lives so dramatically. It's changed us from the inside out. And we know that what God did for us, he can and will do for you. And so we want you to experience that same relationship with Jesus that will turn your life inside out. It will turn your mourning into dancing. It will turn your sorrow into joy. It will give you peace in the midst of your chaos. I'm thankful today for a doctrine that is enough to change our life. But I realize I'm old enough now to know that what you hear from this pulpit may be different in delivery or even in doctrine and content than what you have heard from other pulpits even growing up. And I realize that what you hear here may be different from what you have heard there. What's going to bring you back Sunday after Sunday, even if you don't understand exactly why we believe what we believe, is the presence of God you feel and knowing that the name and the word of God are exalted in this place. And as you come back Sunday after Sunday, and as you read your Bible between Sundays, you are going to see that what we believe and preach is right here in the Scriptures, and that we are preaching the very self-same doctrine the apostles preached to their generation. We're preaching the same thing to our generation. And one day, if we will continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that doctrine is going to get us all the way from here all the way to heaven. Because there is only one message that was preached by Peter, and it's the same prophecy that was made by Joel in the Old Testament. There's coming a day when the Spirit of God is going to be poured out upon all flesh. And the Apostle Peter said, this is that which Joel prophesied, and Peter preached it. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're preaching the same message that Peter preached, that Joel prophesied. And I'm glad to say this is still that which was preached by Peter and prophesied by Joel. God is still pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Let's give thanks to God. Hallelujah. It wouldn't matter as much what was preached if churches were more like restaurants, where it doesn't matter what's preached as long as it's palatable and pleasing. Thanks to a little economic boom, I remember just a few years ago, Mount Vernon really just had a few pizza joints and four Subways. We've come a long way. Now we have Italian, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese, Indian, all right here in Mount Vernon. And, of course, we have pizza joints and four Subways. It wouldn't really matter if churches were more like restaurants as long as what's on the menu looks good and tastes good. But churches are not just like restaurants. At a restaurant, you can pull into a parking lot empty and you can leave full. But even restaurants are not the same. You can't find sesame chicken at Fiesta and you won't get gyros at Amato's. But for the most part, anywhere, you can find something on the menu that you might be able to enjoy, and it's going to fill you up from one meal to the next, as long as it tastes good or even looks good. But churches are not like restaurants, because what is preached and what is presented absolutely matters. We're not just here today to fill up our soul from Sunday so we can be full until next Sunday. We are here to get from here all the way to heaven. And there is only one way to get from here to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to be right with him, and that is to have our sins forgiven whenever we repent of our sins. That's what Peter preached. And to have our sins washed away in baptism. and have the name and the blood of Jesus applied to our soul and have those sins forgiven and paid for when we're baptized in Jesus' name, and then to be filled with the gift of God's Holy Spirit. So one day when He comes back, we will be able and ready to meet Him in the air. That's why we must continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Many of those newborn believers that Peter preached to and those who were right there with the Apostle Peter, most of them lost their lives because they loved Jesus more than life, but they continued steadfastly. When Jerusalem and when Rome and when others tried to wrestle the doctrine away from them, even if they laid their head down to be taken off, it cost them their lives, they still continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'm pleading with the church this morning. Our 21st century church can do no less than that first century church did, because we are so close to the coming of the Lord, 20 centuries closer than they were to the coming of the Lord. We can't afford to lose the apostles' doctrine. We can't afford to dilute or compromise or water down the apostles' doctrine. We've got to preach the same gospel they preached. We've got to preach that same message. We must continue. God intended us to continue running the same relay race that they ran until we cross the finish line and He calls us home. If you're not in a home Bible study, that's a great way to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It's a chance for you to ask questions about the Bible you don't understand and find answers to help you to understand. If you don't already come to Wednesday night Bible study, that's a great place to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. On those Wednesday nights, we dive deeper in the Scripture. We teach what the Bible says about a number of topics and issues. We even go through entire books of the Bible at a time, verse by verse, to learn what God's Word has to say. The Spirit, the Word of God today, constrained me to preach that we must continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It will take us to heaven. They continued steadfastly in fellowship and in breaking in bread. Bishop has rightly preached this also for decades. The most important valuable treasure a church has is truth, it's doctrine. But the second most valuable, and it's a close silver medal finish, a church has is unity. That first century church was the dictionary definition of unity, and unity was fostered through their fellowship. Fellowship is a Bible word that means partnership or communion. Fellowship is more than just potluck. It is partnership. Once they left that first Pentecostal worship service where they came together and they were filled with the Holy Spirit together, they stayed together. They went to one another's houses. They spent time with one another. They prayed for one another. They prayed with one another. They remembered and practiced the words of Jesus, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." One of the greatest gifts God has ever given His church is His church. It's not the building. It's not the bricks and the beams that make this building. It's the brothers and sisters who make His church His church. The greatest gift to the church, one of them, is the church. I want you to take a minute. Just look around you. Look behind you. Look around you. Look beside you. Look in front of you. It's all right. You can look behind you in church. Just at some point, you're going to want to probably look back up this way, but go ahead, just look around. Look around at your brothers and sisters. It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the church. This is just a small, this is like the Mount Vernon chapter of the global, worldwide, world-changing, Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus' name-baptized church. And these are our brothers and sisters. And let me say this. These right here, our brothers and sisters, these are our friends. These are our allies. These are not our enemy. Our enemy would love to persuade us that our enemy is in here, but I've come to remind all of us that our enemy, he is out there. These are our friends. If the enemy could make us think that our enemy is in here, then we will whittle away our days staring face to face and fighting face to face with one another, rather than standing shoulder to shoulder aside one another and fighting against our enemy who is out there. I'm glad to serve God with you. I'm glad to live for God alongside of you. I'm glad to run this race and fight this good fight of faith, not by myself, but right alongside of God's great church. I thank God for fellowship. I thank God for unity. I thank God for my brothers and my sisters. God never intended us to fight the good fight of faith alone. He gave us one another to bear each other's burdens and care for one another. As we begin this year, if I had to grade us, I would have given us an A on doctrine. And that's all from 42 years of pastoring and teaching and preaching the apostles' doctrine by our bishop. But I would have given us a C minus on unity. And that's my fault. 2 years ago when Andrea and I, when you kindly elected us to pastor, I wanted to make sure we keep this doctrine pure, we keep this doctrine right. And so I preached it and I taught it, but to the neglect of teaching and preaching that we need unity and we need fellowship. We don't have to have one without the other. We can have both. They're not mutually exclusive. They're actually best friends. So I would have given us a C minus on unity. Not that we're bad. We were just busy, and sometimes we were too busy to really come together as the church. But since the beginning of the year, I hope you have noticed, because I have noticed and I have felt, there has been a shift. Since the beginning of the year, when over 80 people have covenanted to pray daily for our church, and we came together through prayer and fasting during our three-week fast, and we came together for special services and revival services, and we've come together to serve one another. We built the chapel together, and we've come together. I'd still give us an A on doctrine. I would raise our C minus to a B on unity. We've got a little ways to go, but we're getting there. We're coming together. We're headed in the right direction, and we must continue in fellowship. The first century church spent so much time together, they celebrated communion in each other's homes, one of the most beautiful and solemn and sacred ceremonies in the church, and they celebrated it together, not just in the hallowed halls of the temple, but they celebrated it in their homes. They went house to house, they prayed with each other, they worshiped with each other, they just spent time with each other, which is one reason we have our small groups. It's an opportunity to take this glorious gospel we love, to take it from this house and take it to our house and talk about it there. I overheard Sister Jobina today was saying concerning our small group lesson that they had their small group last night, and they said when she, after small groups, they went home and they talked about it at their home. That's what God intended, is that this gospel would not just be preached, taught, and talked about here, but it would be preached, taught, and talked about at home. If you're not already in a small group, you need to be in a small group. It's not just for you, it's for others. You may not feel like you need it, but somebody else needs you to be a part of that small group. You may not feel like you need fellowship, but they need you to be a part of fellowship, even if you don't think you do. In fact, I'd like our small group leaders to stand. If you're leading a small group, would you stand? All of our small group leaders, would you stand? I'm one of those. I'm still standing. If you're not part of a small group yet, I'd like you to look around and see those who are standing. And ask one of them if you can be a part of their small group. Right after our church today, our group is going to the pavilion. We're going to have a picnic, and we're going to talk about what we talked about in here. So anybody who's not part of a small group, you can join our small group. Sorry, guys, unfair advantage, but I got the mic. All right, you may be seated. Fellowship is so valuable to God. It's so valuable to the church. It's so valuable to me. I've watched dear friends withdraw themselves from fellowship, isolate themselves from everybody and everything, thinking they don't need anybody. It's just me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. And I've watched those people try to fight the good fight of faith on their own. And all of them were strong. They were solid in the doctrine. But they did not make it out of the good fight of faith with their faith. Because God never intended any one of us to do this without all of us. We need fellowship and we need each other. We've got to continue steadfastly in fellowship with one another. One of my desires one day is to be standing right by your side whenever I hear him say to you, "Well done." And I will be there, I want to be there to applaud and celebrate and rejoice with you. But I don't just want to wait till we get there. I want to do that while we're here. And I would hope all of us would want to be there with the rest of us whenever he says, "Well done," and say, "We're so glad you made it." We need one another. And God knows we need him. That's why they continued steadfastly in prayer. That first century church was a praying church. They prayed all the time. They prayed together publicly. They prayed by themselves privately. They prayed after miracles. They prayed during trials. They prayed in the temple. They prayed at home. They prayed in the morning. They prayed at night. They prayed before making major decisions. They prayed before electing leaders. They prayed for salvation for the lost. They prayed for deliverance for the captive, for healing for the sick. That early church turned their world upside down because they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And when they were finished praying, they just prayed some more. In fact, in Acts 4, they prayed so hard and they prayed so much that the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. But here we are, 20 centuries ahead of them. Ahead of them in technology and information. And we have so much more that they did not have. They had papyrus and ponies. It took days to get one message to somebody. We have smartphones and SUVs. I could send a message right from here to China. It would cost a little bit, but I could do it. And it would be in China within seconds. When our church was founded in 1955, we needed God. We only had a handful of people there for that first service. But we've been at this for 63 years. We know what we're doing. Our music is better. Our building is much more beautiful and far bigger. We can sing our favorite songs. We can listen to our favorite speakers. We can throw a few stick drums in there just for fun. We can preach the gospel to the world with literally just a few clicks, and we don't have to have passports or airfare to do it. We have so much more than they had. But listen to me, their technology did not change the world, their prayers did. We may have so much more, but we will see so much less if we do not continue to be people of deep, passionate prayer. We must continue steadfastly in prayer. Prayer when you walk with God in the morning before you walk out the door. Prayer that moves heaven and shakes hell and changes the world. We must be people of prayer. We must be people who walk with God before we fall asleep at night. Before we come in here to worship on Sundays, I pray, please meet us in the prayer room on Sunday nights and let's seek God together to spend some time with Him before we come in here. At the altar call, whenever it's given, we need to continue to come to the altar just because we want to spend time with God in prayer. You may not feel like you need exactly what was preached on that morning or night, but even if you don't, somebody does. And so even if you're not praying for you, you need to come to the altar and pray for somebody that God would help them to receive and live out what they have just heard. We need to be people who take time out of the hectic pace of life and spend time with the one who has given us abundant life and promised us eternal life. We must continue steadfastly in prayer. And I know sometimes it's difficult to knowing what prayer requests to pray for on certain days. So if you run out of prayer requests to pray for, just open up a church directory or just start thinking in your mind of the people who are sitting in these seats today and just start calling out their name. I don't know anybody in the room who would say, no thanks, I don't want anybody praying for me. However we pray, whatever we pray, whenever we pray, we must be people who continue to be people of faithful, fervent, passionate prayer. Would you stand? The apostles continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread, fellowship, and in prayers. And when they did that, there's a beautiful verse at the end of Acts chapter 2 that tells us what God did as a result of what they did. When they did what they could do, God did what they could not. And the scripture says, as they praised God, God gave them favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When that newborn church continued, so did God. God would only stop if they stopped. I believe God will only stop moving in our midst if we stop. But if we continue, I firmly believe this, God will continue to do what He started to do, and He will add to the church daily such as should be saved. The only way for us to continue to reach our world and make an impact in our city is to continue to be people who love this doctrine, who love fellowship, and who love to pray so we can see God do what we can't do. If you want the Lord to continue to work in your life, you want Him to continue to help you, continue to lead you, continue to guide you, to direct you, would you raise your hands right now and just pray that the Lord would help you to continue? Let's pray today for the Lord to give us a deep love for this doctrine. For this doctrine is able to save us and all of those who hear it. Let's pray together right now. God, give us a love for this glorious truth, this glorious gospel, this doctrine. Help us, Lord. I want to share it with my children. I want my daughters to know and love this doctrine. If you tarry, you're coming, and you call me home, God. I want my girls to be preaching this doctrine to theirs. I want this generation, Lord, of students and hyphen and young adults to be preaching this doctrine one day to those who come after them. I pray, give us a deep love for this glorious gospel, this doctrine. Help us, Lord, I pray. I thank you for it, Jesus. May it continue to save souls and get us ready for heaven. I pray, Lord, help us to love and continue in fellowship. Give us a love for one another. Give us a love for each other, Lord. I pray today you would do a work in our church and our lives. Give us, help us to be unified. Bring us together. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see you do in us what you want to do for us and all of us. I ask you, Jesus, help us to be people who love fellowship. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people who seek after you, Lord. May we ever and always be people of fervent, passionate prayer. Help us, Jesus, to be a praying church. Help us to seek after you, Lord, for everything we need, knowing you're able to do it. I thank you today, God. I ask you to help us to continue. You have started something. I feel the groundswell of something happening here in our church and in our city. And I ask you, God, may it continue as we continue. Let this experience, this Holy Ghost outpouring, this Pentecost experience, let it be continued, Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I praise you today, God. I praise you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to baptize a little guy, Elijah Farrell. We're going to baptize him in Jesus' name. But I'd like everybody who wants to continue, you want to continue in the doctrine. This is what you're going to preach until now, from now until Jesus comes. You're going to continue in the doctrine. You're continuing fellowship. You're going to continue to bind together as a church and be unified. You continue to pray and seek after God so he can do what you can. I want you to come to the altar. Everybody who says, I want to continue in doctrine, continue in fellowship, continue in prayer. I want to continue to be the church God has called us to be. We've been here now for 63 years, but God is calling us to continue. If he tarries, is coming another 63 years. There needs to be a church right here in Mount Vernon who's continuing to be the church God has called us to be.
Not going back, moving ahead, here to declare to you my past is over. Found in you, you're the healer who makes all.